Revelation of Atzmus. We've heard the terminology. We've heard the terminology of Atzmus and Giluya, essence and revelations. What does it mean when we speak about the revelation of Atzmus, the revelation of the divine essence? As Chassidus explains, when we talk about the divine essence, the only thing that we know that we could say about Atzmos, about the very essence, the very being of the Eibishter himself, the only thing we could say about this is, about the Eibishter's existence, is that there is nothing we could say about it. The only way we could define Atzmos is by saying that there is no way to define Atzmos. In fact, Rebbe brings from the Rebbe Rashab that even the fact that we use the word Atzmus is actually technically improper to even use a word, because a word, by its very nature, a word attempts to define and contain that which it is expressing. And the only reason why we even use a word for the existence of God himself is simply because we have to communicate verbally. So we need a word. But not that it's actually appropriate to use a word, it's just for lack of choice, we're forced to use a word. So we use the word Atzmus, sometimes we say Atzmus and Mahus, the essence and the very being. But the fact is that essence is completely and totally indefinable. So, as we know, one of the common mistakes, unfortunately, that people make, and I've tested this out on numerous occasions, and I've discovered that, unfortunately, it's a common mistake, is when you stop people and you ask them, is God a physical being or a spiritual being? Many people make the mistake of answering that God is a spiritual being, because they assume that everything that's not physical is spiritual. But actually, the answer to the question of is God a physical being or a spiritual being, actually the answer to that question is he is neither a physical being nor a spiritual being. He created both spirituality as we know it, and he created the physical reality as we know it. But the fact is, to define the Eibishter as either physical or spiritual is absolutely, totally, completely inaccurate. And actually, according to the Rambam, is apocursus to even say that God is a spiritual being. As the Shalom explains, that this that the Rambam writes, that the Eibishter is Ein Loi Guf, the Ein Loi Dmus HaGuf, that God does not have a body, nor does he have the form of a body. So the Shalom raises the question, what is the difference between a guf and a dmus haguf? So he explains that spiritual beings don't actually have bodies, but they have a dmus haguf, which is what the Mekubalim describe as partsufim. The Mekubalim explain that the spheres are set up in the form of the human body. In the spheres there's a head, there are the intellectual spheres, there's a guf, there are the emotional spheres, and then there's the outer limbs, which is represented by the spheres as well. So, a dmus haguf does not mean a physical being. What the Rambam is adding by saying that the Eibishter has neither a body nor the form of a body is that the Eibishter himself is neither a physical being nor a spiritual being. The spiritual realities of the spheres, even in the worlds which are totally connected and one with God's existence, even though ultimately everything is one with God's existence, but even those which are totally connected and one with God in a revealed way, are also only creations. According to the Mekubalim, the difference between the physical reality and the spiritual reality is that the spiritual reality can be compared to an emanation from God, And the physical reality could be compared to a creation by God. But ultimately, the fact is that the Eibishter himself is neither, cannot be defined by the characteristics of the physical reality, and that's what it means when we say Ein LeGuf, he has no body, nor can he be defined by the characteristics of the spiritual reality, which is what we mean when we say that Ein LeDmus HaGuf, he does not have the form of a body. So the truth is that, unfortunately, anybody who is under the impression that God is a spiritual being is actually, sadly, unwittingly believing something which is defined as apokrosis. The truth is, he is neither a physical nor a spiritual being, but he is the source of both. Now, in our reality, the way we perceive reality, there are two separate realities. There's a physical reality and there's a spiritual reality. To us, those are two separate realities. There are places where we see the two interact. Like, for instance, we know that any physical being that has any life to it, and Chassidus tells us that even a stone has some life force, some energy force in it that keeps it in existence. So we know that that is a spiritual life force. So there are places where we see the physical and the spiritual realities interact. But basically, from our perspective, they're two separate realms. There's the physical and there's the spiritual. Occasionally they meet, they interact, but fundamentally they're two separate realities. But that is only from our perspective. In fact, to us, if we had to define these two realities and say which is the higher reality, and which is the lower reality? So again, from our perception, from our perspective, the spiritual reality is a higher reality, and the physical realm is a lower reality. So we see the world in terms of physical and spiritual, higher and lower. And then within each one of those realities, within the spiritual reality, there are higher realms and lower realms. The higher realms, we talk in terms of worlds, Atsilus, Bria, Yetzira, Asiya. We talk in terms of, even before the construction of worlds, we talk about the infinite light, which preceded even Tzimtzum. We talk about higher revelations of spiritual reality and lower. So from our perspective on reality, the physical and spiritual are two separate realities, and within the spiritual realms, there are higher and lower realms, and this is reflected in our physical world, that there are higher and lower levels of existence. There is Daime, Tsemeya, Chaimadame. There is inanimate, there is vegetable life, things which grow, and then there is those things which are alive, the animals, kingdom, and then there is the human being, who we define as the Medaber, the communicator. But so again, from our perspective, the way we see the world, there are different levels within our reality. There are higher levels and lower levels. But all of these things are all from our perspective. From the perspective of Atzmus, okay, within Atzmus, everything is equal. There is no difference from God's perspective, because he is neither and is the source of both. From God's perspective, there is no difference between the physical and the spiritual. They both equally express his reality. There is no difference between what we call higher spiritual realms and lower spiritual realms, because again, from his perspective, they all equally express his reality. They're all equally an extension of his reality. And therefore, there is, from his perspective, there is no difference between higher and lower, between physical and spiritual. All those distinctions are only from our perspective. So what does it mean when we talk about the revelation of Atzmus? When we talk about the revelation of Atzmus, what we mean is that we perceive reality the same way that God himself does. Or in other words, that we see a world in which there is no separation between spiritual and physical. There is no separation between the highest spiritual realities and the lower spiritual realities. That we see how every single thing in existence will express one and the same thing. They may express it in different ways, but ultimately they all express one and the same thing, which is God Himself. So when we talk about the revelation of Atzmus in La'asid Lovli, in the time of the ultimate redemption, what we mean is a world in which every single thing in existence will proclaim God. The physical existence, all of the spiritual realities will be revealed within the physical world. There will be no separation between the two. All of the highest levels of spiritual reality will be revealed within each and every person. And this is a world which expresses one true reality, that God is everything and everything is God. That there are no separate realities. There isn't a higher reality and a lower reality. There isn't a spiritual realm and a physical realm. All these differences and distinctions are only an illusion, ultimately, from our perspective. And the true reality is that everything is God and God is everything, and we can't distinguish between one thing and the other in terms of, at least from the angle of how each and everything is God, and God is each and everything, there is no distinction between higher and lower, even though there will continue to exist spirituality and physicality, higher spiritual revelation and lower spiritual revelation. But when we see it from the perspective of Atzmus, ultimately they all say the exact same thing. They all proclaim the reality of God's existence, which is defined and bound by no definition. By the fact that when you sit up in an airplane, the higher you go, the flatter everything looks. Okay? The more level everything looks. To us, we stand at the bottom of a mountain, top of the mountain, looks like there's a big mountain up there. But if you're looking down from an airplane, the difference between the top of the mountain and level ground seems very small. There's almost no difference. And the higher you go, the more equal and level everything appears. From the perspective of God Himself, actually everything is absolutely equal. So the thing is like this. So this process of revelation, of bringing, of merging the two realities, the spiritual reality, or the godly reality with the physical reality as we know it, is, as the Rebbe explains, a three-step process. The first process of revelation actually has to take place within the Jewish people themselves. By the Jew revealing the highest levels of his own soul within, in other words, all revelation is dependent on the Jewish people. Every godly revelation in the world is dependent on the Jewish people. The Jewish people are the ones that make it happen. The way that we make it happen is that first, the process of revelation has to take place within the Jewish people themselves. And only then can we take it to the next step, which is to bring the revelation into the rest of the physical world. So generally speaking, when we talk about the process that takes place within the Jewish people themselves, what we talk about is that when the Jew reveals the highest levels of his soul, up to and including the essence of his very soul, which this is accomplished primarily through the service of God by way of Mesiras Nefesh. When a person, on the lower levels of the soul, each level of the soul operates and relates to God on a different level. Now, Sidus explains that there are five levels to the soul. So, for instance, Nefesh, it's explained that a Jew who serves God on the level of Nefesh, that is a service of God which is primarily based on Kabbalah Sper, which it means action, and simply doing and fulfilling and discharging one's obligations simply because one is obligated to do so, not because one has any feeling for it, or any understanding of it, or any desire for it, or any takes any pleasure in it, but simply because we were told to do so, and we have to do what we were told. That is how Chassidus describes the service of God on the lowest level of the soul, which is the level of nefesh. The service of God on the level of ruach is based on an emotional connection, an attachment to God, which is that in addition to learning Torah and doing mitzvahs simply as a way of fulfilling one's obligations, one does so also with feeling, with emotion, with love and fear of God. And that is described in Chassidus as the service of God on the level of ruach. Neshama, Chassidus explains, corresponds to the intellectual faculties. But not only does one serve God, and because one is obligated to do so, and one has to force oneself to do so, not only has one achieved emotional attachment, and therefore is able to invest their activities with feeling, with love and fear of God, but also actually an intellectual understanding and appreciation of the greatness of God, of God's reality. That is the service of God which is on the level of neshama. The service of God which is on the level of chaya, which is the fourth level of the soul, is actually a service of God which is on a level that's even higher than intellect. When a person is so devoted and so committed to serving the Eibishter that they go beyond the limits of the intellect, that their service is on a level which can be described as irrational or super rational, they will do things that make no sense rationally because they're so devoted and dedicated to the Eibishter. That is a service of God on the level of chayim. Yechida is said to correspond to the faculty of tainug, which means that one's only pleasure and delight is exclusively in God. And one of the ways that this manifests is in mesiras nefesh, because as Chassidus explains, mesiras nefesh is an expression of the fact that a Jew neither can nor desires to be separated from God. He neither can nor he wants nor wants to be separated from God. This is the level of yechida, which the word yechida actually means individual or exclusive. And as we say in the Hishanas, we say yechida liyachadach, that the service of God on the level of yechida means that the only thing that my existence is about is exclusively the service of God, to the exclusion of everything and anything else. And the way this, the most common way that this expresses itself is through the avodah of mesiras nefesh, which means that there is nothing else in my world, in my life, except God, and therefore I cannot exist without my connection to God, and therefore I am prepared even to give up my existence in order to maintain my connection to God, because I have no existence outside of my connection to God, and therefore I cannot exist outside of or without my connection to God. So this is the level of yechida is expressed in the avodah of mesiras nefesh. Then there is the actual essence of the soul itself. The actual essence of the soul itself is actually expressed primarily, as the Rebbe explains, not in mesiras nefesh as in terms of the willingness to sacrifice my life, to give up my life, and to be prepared to stop existing, but actually living mesiras nefesh, which means not dying al kiddush Hashem, not willing to die for Hashem, but actually living with mesiras nefesh. Living with mesiras nefesh means that I am completely involved in the act of living, and every part of my being is involved with and is focused on one thing, the service of God. My every part of me, my will, my desire, my will, my intellect, my emotions, my thought, speech, and action, every part of me is devoted to and involved exclusively and interested only in one thing, the one thing only God himself. Well, it depends. When you talk about an avoda lomata lamaila, generally, when you're working your way up, generally we work our way up from nefesh to ruach to neshama to gaya to yichida. There's also an avoda of lomaila lamata, which means that there's certain ways that we can tap into the higher levels of the soul directly and try to bring them down into our consciousness, our intellect, our emotions, our thought, speech, and action. So we were just talking in terms of how you work your way up from the bottom up. There is a way to tap in from the top down, but so theoretically you can be on the higher level, and the idea is that you must bring that, you're operating on a lower level, but you're tapping into a higher level as you operate on a lower level. But not getting into that just right before.
If you work your way up, then you have the intellect first, so that when you have the higher, you're saying that the higher is beyond intellect, but it's not exclusive of
intellect, it's not more. No. Just like the will is higher than the intellect, but it doesn't mean that you don't use your intellect. The will governs the intellect and directs the intellect. It doesn't turn off the intellect. So when we talk about the revelation of Atzmus within the Jew, within a Jew himself, what we're talking about is the revelation of the highest faculties of the soul within the lowest levels of the person's existence. As we said, the ultimate revelation of the essence of the soul is living Mesiras Nefesh, meaning that every thought and every word and every action expresses my total connectedness and my total devotion and my total involvement with God and God only. Exclusively devoted to and connected to God. In this process, when we reveal the highest levels of the soul within the lower levels of our existence, we are expressing essence. What we are saying is that there is no separation between higher and lower. That our lowest actions are an expression of our highest spiritual connectedness to God. By breaking down the barrier and separation between the highest levels of our existence and the lowest levels of our existence, by connecting the highest to the lowest, what we're doing is we're revealing essence. Because essence, on the level of essence, we explain the highest and the lowest are all one. They're all equal, they're all level, there is no distinction. So we experience reality as there's a separation between the body and the soul, between the animal soul and the godly soul, and then within the godly soul, between the lower levels and the higher levels. But once we successfully reveal the highest levels of the soul within the body and the animal soul, that the body and the animal soul are operating on the highest levels of the godly soul. So what we're doing is we're connecting the higher reality with the lower reality. And that is how we express the essence of our soul, which ultimately is one with the essence of God. That is revelation of essence. However, that revelation of essence is not complete. Because if essence was truly revealed, then it would be revealed not only within the Jew, but it would be revealed within the whole world. Every part of the world, not only the Jew themselves, but every part of the physical world would express the reality of God. So even though we say that by revealing the highest levels of the soul within the lowest levels of our existence, we are revealing essence, but it's actually a step in the process of revealing essence. The revelation of essence is not yet complete. We have to now connect the highest spiritual realities with the rest of the physical world. We have to now start operating outside of ourselves and connecting God to the physical world around us. That process of being involved with and engaged in worldly activities and revealing the highest levels of godly revelation within the physical realm and within physical activities, that is the next step in the process of the revelation of Atzmus, that now we see the highest levels of holiness being connected with the lowest levels of physical existence, even those things outside of a Jew, the physical world itself. But, and this is expressed in the fact that we have the power to take physical objects and make them holy. Taking a physical object and making it holy means that we have the capacity to connect the highest spiritual levels of holiness with the lowest physical objects in existence. However, this is still not the complete revelation of Atzmus. The complete revelation of Atzmus is actually only when I perceive the reality of the physical world as being totally connected with the highest revelations of the spiritual world. Because still, even today, when I can take objects and make them holy, but I don't really see the difference between a holy object and an object which is not holy. I can't really tell visually the difference between a holy object and an object which is not yet holy. So even though I do have this power, and I am taking the physical world and connecting it to the highest levels of the spiritual world, but that has not yet penetrated my perception. I don't see the difference. There's a story when with the Rebbe Rashab and the Friedrich Rebbe, that there was a certain chassid that bought a number of artifacts that had been found and were attributed to the Baal Shem Tov and other of his disciples. And he bought this whole collection, but he didn't know which things were authentic and which things weren't. So when he brought them to the Rebbe Rashab, it was mostly documents. He brought them to the Rebbe Rashab. The Rebbe Rashab made two piles. He picked up each thing, he made one pile, this is authentic, this is not. He made two piles. And he separated what was authentic from what was not. So this chassid saw, open divine sight on the part of the Rebbe Rashab. So after he went out of the Rebbe Rashab, he decided, you know what? I want to show the same things to the Rebbe Rashab's son, Friedrich Rebbe, who at that time was not really known to be all that great because he was a very hidden person. Everyone knew he was the Rebbe's son, but he wasn't suspected of any particular greatness. He decided to bring it in to the Rebbe's son, to show the Rebbe's son this collection that he had bought. So he brought it into the Friedrich Rebbe, and the Friedrich Rebbe started going through each thing and making two separate piles, which is authentic and which is not. And he realized that he separated the exact same things that the Rebbe Rashab said was authentic. The Friedrich Rebbe said was authentic, and the same things which he said was not authentic, the Friedrich Rebbe said is not authentic. So the Chassid said to the Friedrich Rebbe, what? Ruach HaKodesh? You're not a Rebbe, but your father's a Rebbe. What are you? You have Ruach HaKodesh? So he said to him, no. He said that everything has a godly energy in it, and things which are holy have a different godly energy in it than things which are not holy. So when I picked up each thing, I felt that which was holy, and I was drawn to it and attracted to it, had a different energy than the things which were not. So there are people, so the fact is that when we are involved in sanctifying the physical world, we're actually making a difference. Things are actually happening. The problem is that we don't have the ability to see it. So the third step in the process is when we actually get to a point where the world itself proclaims the highest spiritual revelations. When the world itself proclaims the highest spiritual revelations, then we are to the point that even on a physical level, I can see the difference. I can see the difference between something that's holy and something that's not. For in the words of the Navi, this is the time when all flesh will see God. That the flesh itself will be able to perceive God. In other words, that the physical reality itself will express and reveal God. That is the point when the revelation of Atzmus is complete. When all the highest levels of spiritual revelation have been invested into the lowest levels of existence, to the point that the flesh itself could see it, that is when the revelation of Atzmus is complete. So the Rebbe says these three stages, the Rebbe breaks it down into the first stage is the corresponds to the avodah of the Ovis. The Ovis started the process of bringing God down into the world, but within themselves. The physical world was unaffected. They themselves achieved a level of total connectedness to God while in this world, but the physical world itself had not been affected. And not only did they achieve this level of total connectedness, but they could achieve this level of total connectedness even within their physical beings, as expressed by the fact that we say that the mitzvah of Milah is the beginning of the revelation of Matan Torah, because the mitzvah of Milah is the first mitzvah where actually the godliness, the holiness penetrated the physical being, became part of the physical body of a physical human being. So that, we said, is the beginning of the process of the revelation of Matan Torah. But all this took place within the existence of the others themselves. The world itself had not been affected. In fact, it says that until Matan Torah, there was a decree which separated the spiritual reality from the physical reality. The physical world, the Jew, Avraham Avinu himself, Yitzhak, Yaakov, they were able to experience godly revelation in their physical beings, but they couldn't translate it into the physical world itself. They could not bring it down to the physical world itself. Their mitzvahs had no lasting impact on the physical world. Matan Torah is the second stage of the process, which Matan Torah now is that decree was absolved. It's now possible to connect the spiritual reality with the physical reality, and we now have the power that when we do a mitzvah, even if we're not serving God on the level of the others, even if we don't have total mysterious numbers, anytime we do a mitzvah, we have the capacity to connect the highest spiritual realities with physical objects, and take those physical objects and make the physical reality into a holy and godly existence. However, when we do that, we still don't see the difference. We don't necessarily perceive the impact of our actions on the physical world. It's only in the time of redemption, which is the third step in the process. It's only in the time of the ultimate redemption when we actually get to see everything that we have accomplished, and the physical world itself actually proclaims God. And that is the ultimate expression of the fact that everything in existence is really ultimately an expression of the reality that God is everything and everything is God, or in other words, the revelation of Atzmus. So the Rebbe said these three stages correspond to the three parshas, Shmos, Ve'era, and Bo'i. That Shmos is the time when describes the Jewish people in exile, which represents the Avodah before Matan Torah, before the giving of the Torah, the Avodah which is the process of refinement of the Jewish people themselves. And the exile in Egypt is described as a smelting pot, because it is a place where the refinement was taking place within the Jewish people themselves. The next step is Parshas Ba'era, which Hashem says that go tell the Jewish people, Ani Hashem, I am Yudke Vavke, which is the revelation, corresponds to the revelation of Matan Torah. And Parshas Bo'i, which actually talks about the actual redemption from Egypt, which is the portion that discusses the actual redemption, Parshas Bo'i represents the third stage of the process, which is the ultimate redemption. The Rebbe goes on to say, other points in the Siddur which we covered on Tuesday, and don't have time to refer back to now, But the Rebbe also says that these three stages correspond to the three periods within the Friedrich Rebbe's life. The period when he was working for his father, first 40 years of his life, when he was working for his father, involved in the spreading of Hasidus, but that was still within Lubavitch, within and amongst Hasidim themselves, within the confines and context of Yeshiva's Tam Ketuvim. Then, was afterwards, was his Nasir, where he then became involved in bringing Hasidus and Yiddishkeit out to the world at large, going out to the world, bringing it to others, whether it was going out within Russia itself, and then later in Poland, and later in America. The process of bringing godliness outside, not just to the inside. And the third stage is the period following his Nasius, where the continuation of his Nasius, where the spreading of Hasidus and Yiddishkeit exploded in an unprecedented manner, the last step of the process, which is actually bringing about the revelation of the redemption. The Rebbe says this can also be broken down to within the three periods within the time of the Friedrich Rebbe's Nasius itself. At the period of the first 10 years, a little more than 10 years, when he was in Russia, actually less than 10 years, when he was in Russia, and he was involved in fighting against those forces which tried to undermine and uproot Yiddishkeit, and doing his avodah in a way primarily of Mesiras Nefesh, having to put his life on the line for every small step. The second period of his Nasius, which is after he left Russia and settled in Poland, where in Poland was the idea of bringing Hasidus in a way which had not been brought there previously. In Poland, the main involvement of Hasidus in Poland was in the way of Polish Hasidus, by bringing the revelation of Hasidus outward into places where there had never been such a revelation before, which corresponds more to the revelation of Yudke Vavke. And the third stage of his Nasius, which was here in America, actually bringing Yiddishkeit to every single place in order to complete the process of bringing about the Geula, which corresponds to the third stage, which is the actual revelation of the Geula itself. But the Rebbe says that what this means to us now, at this point, is that now we, at this time, when we're entering into the month of Shvat, we have to take everything, being that the Nasi, HaNasi Wakar, Nasi is everything, in order to connect to that reality, in order to, it's very nice to talk about the reality as it is within the Nasi, within the Rebbe, that the Rebbe has gone through these three stages. But in order for us to be attached and connected to that reality and to actually fulfill and complete the process of Lahavi Lumeis HaMashiach, we have to be totally and fully, completely connected. Every single, as the Rebbe says, Kol Mitzuyusa, that a person has to give over to the Rebbe his entire existence, the Inyanav, and all of his matters, Vakel Mikel Ker, that true Kashrus doesn't mean. Many people define as kashrus as taking on this custom, this hayra of the Rebbe, that hayra of the Rebbe, saying chitas, wearing this kind of hat, doing this activity, that. The Rebbe says that his kashrus is defined by giving over, by realizing the reality that Hanosi Hu Akel, that he is everything. This is the month of Shvat, the time of Yud Shvat. This is the time of strengthening our Iskashus. Iskashus means that every single part of a person's existence, all of a person's matters, should be completely sanctified to the Nasi, Vakel Mikel Kel. Every single part of a person's existence, everything and anything exclusively, and all involved and engaged in one thing, which is the final stage of the process, the revelation of Mashiach himself. That is what we have to be totally, completely, and exclusively involved in, and that in itself is the final step in the process of bringing about the ultimate revelation. The devil just adds the very knowledge that at any moment the devil is going to walk in and look at each one of his mikusharim, each one of his chassidim. It's very interesting that the devil separates mikusharim from chassidim, that it's possible to fall under the category of a chassid and not necessarily be fully mikusha, which not necessarily be fully connected, go in the way of chassidus without being totally connected and bound up with the Rebbe. Bound up with the Rebbe, the Rebbe says, means that you have no life. You have no life of your own. Your whole life is carrying out the shlichus, the mission of the Rebbe, which is l'havi l'meis ha-Mashiach, which we will surely be zeicha to see and merit to see fully and completely revealed.